Hi, I'm Tilty. I'm the lead designer for The Secret World, and you're listening to Beyond the Veil.
You are now listening to Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Welcome all. Welcome to Masterpiece Theater. Shit, wrong show. Hi, everyone.
Hey.
Welcome to the Film Actors Guild. FAG for short. Sorry, wrong movie.
Hey, you're tuned in to K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s, where the hits just keep on trucking.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh man, I am so old. I actually remember that.
Me too.
Do you remember when, like, Lonnie Anderson was so hot?
No.
Can I throw one in there? Did you remember the Thanksgiving episode where Les Nessman said, "I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly"?
I know.
And he's in the chopper and he drops all the turkeys.
Oh my god. You know, it's go ahead.
I suppose some of the younger listeners may be at this point thinking, what the hell are these guys going on about? Is this like a retirement home podcast?
Yeah, pretty much. You know how long it's been since I did a WKRP reference and like no one gets it, but all of a sudden today I get two people that do get it, like wow. I still can't believe they fired him. That was the laws back then. He got fired from his job for saying booger on air. I couldn't believe that. Booger. Welcome to Beyond the Backstage Lot, because it's really not a Beyond the Veil show. It's like Beyond the Stage. Beyond the Veil of Beyond the Veil, I guess. I am your host, Xander, and I guess the whole cast of the show is pretty much on you know, festivals. Yay! Yes, so it's Thanksgiving, and most of our United States cast are, you know, eating and chowing down on turkeys and stuff like that, and then the other people from the other side of the ocean are fast asleep, dreaming of sugar plums. And
what exactly are you giving thanks for? Just speaking from a foreigner's perspective.
I don't know. I'm not American. Ooh, we do have... Crikey, here we are in the wild. We kind of the rare breed of American. His name is Jason. Hey, Jake, can we ask you that question? What are you thankful for?
Well, there's a couple of different stances on that. Since I am American Indian, I ate Thanksgiving dinner today at the Indian Reservation. We actually have encapsulated our native residents in small areas where they're allowed to charge us to come gamble at their casinos, which is awesome. But truthfully speaking, I'm thankful for the fact that I did not have to work today. It's a national holiday. That goes back a long way to when America forcefully took this land. But that being said, at the time, we're supposed to believe that we were starving. We got to this land from England I'm sure anyone from any of the other countries that have been colonized understand that. And we didn't know how to grow corn, or our crops couldn't handle the crops we brought over couldn't handle the climate. So Indians grew corn and taught us how, and shared their wealth with us. And what did we do? We pretty much enslaved them. But that being said, I'm thankful that we didn't have to work today and I got to go out and eat. So that was pretty much it.
That's a really round sum explanation for the event. Wow.
So Canada, you're totally enlightened.
Yes, Canada, Thanksgiving was last month. And we too kind of have some kind of thing like you were talking about there. We have reservations for the natives, just different tribes all through Canada, but they, aboriginals that they want to, you know, be called, I guess, because they are the original people. And, like, I guess you guys, I'm not sure about the whole casino thing, but they get like really cheap cigarettes and really super cheap gas. So yep. Like everybody around town goes to the Micmac Mall. We call that. That's like the stretch on the airport where the natives. You know, it's really bad that I can't even remember the name of our local tribe.
Ours are the Porch Creek.
Yeah. It's not Micmac. You know, Micmac is the name of a mall in our biggest city in the province that I live in, and that's in Halifax. I can't. Métis? I think the tribe is Métis. But yeah. They have it on the airport stretch, and they sell, you know, cheap gas and cheap cigarettes there, and so that's where everyone goes to buy their cigarettes and gas.
You know, just thinking about it, I mean, you know, if you think of mankind just in general, I mean, you know, there's been some pretty damn atrocious things that have happened through the history of mankind, and it is good that we celebrate these things. I mean, you know, we've got a similar. We've got Waitangi Day here in New Zealand. You guys have got Thanksgiving. Australia obviously has got Australia Day because they're very, very creative with names. But I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's actually pretty cool that, generally speaking, mankind as a civilized society has moved on. And even though we still do have some pretty crappy things that happen on a world scale every once in a while, generally, you know, we don't do a lot of the horrible things that used to happen. I mean, you know, Thanksgiving, the whole, you know, the crushing of the American Indian, it's kind of good that those things don't happen anymore. But it is good to make sure that you remember these things and to try and learn from mankind's mistakes. But it's only kind of good, right? Think that we're a little bit more enlightened.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I don't know anyone in the South who's not related to some type of Indian, has a lot of Indian in their family. My family, I'm a 16th, so we're not that far off the reservation, period. But there's a lot of Americans who may or may not admit it, but they have, you know, Chickasaw, Choctaw. I mean, America was beat up with Indians when we got here, and I mean, not that we did a good thing by pushing them off their own land, but that being said, we learned a lot from them, and their culture is part of our culture now. You can't be an American without having American Indians. So that being, just tossing that out there, that the thankful part comes from the fact that, yeah, they integrated somewhat peacefully into the thing that we call North America. Well, into the thing that we call America, not North America, but it sounds like Canada got some of it too. But that being said, they're really, it's really an awesome culture to be part of. And, the thankful part, just truly speaking, just out there, it really is awesome. I don't know how turkeys got into it, but all of the other like food items that we do, exactly right.
But all didn't turkeys come on the Mayweather? Was it the Mayweather?
Mayflower.
The Mayflower. Didn't turkeys come on the Mayflower?
I was told they were a robust bird, but I think they were already here. Don't quote me on that because Benjamin Franklin
right now.
Benjamin Franklin specifically said that he thought that should have been the national bird because it was much smarter than the eagle and more robust, and it was also a more majestic bird. So there you go.
Well, to be honest, my theory is that the joker that organized the actual celebration of Thanksgiving is the same guy that organized Easter, where it's like, okay, we've got a religious holiday where Jesus died on the cross. Let's have some chocolate bunnies. and chocolate eggs. You know, because they're just so interlinked.
Exactly. I'm glad you see that too.
Yeah, like, you know, kids nowadays, unless you're in a really religious family or whatever, it's... okay, here I am talking about religion, and one of the two things I don't talk about, politics and religion, right? This show has already gone off the rails so far.
We derailed it.
Let's continue down the rabbit hole, why don't we? Dum-bum. But, yeah.
Yeah, let's take the red pill. Let's see how deep this rabbit hole goes.
I like that the guy with the pig mask brought religion into this. This is awesome. You're cool, man.
Yeah.
The problem is I started talking, and as those that know me, I just don't shut up, and I'll just talk about goddamn near anything.
Right? And then the guy with the cowboy outfit on started talking about Indians, so there you go. Yeah. Right?
And here's a soldier guy in the battle armor about to speak religion. Yes. This is kind of weird.
But those that are watching the podcast will notice that today is Sword Friday. And
yes.
We're all wearing our different kind of swords.
Uh-huh. I got my QL10 point, or whatever the fuck it is. And you got your nice shiny one.
It's the company one. What's the company?
Arachi.
Yeah, the Arachi level 10, yeah.
So I might as well make the introductions. Hi, I'm your host for this evening, for the next little while. I'm Xander. You know, yay, you might remind me from such podcasts as Beyond the Veil, The Secret World, and Tribbles and Ecstasy, and I often, you know, go on the Geek Easy for all your geeking out stuff. And Jay, how are you?
Doing well, Xander. I am Jason, formerly of the Pulse Gamecast. Recently just playing Star Wars and the Secret World, so there you go.
And then we have Mr. Gray.
Hi, my name's Troy McClure, and you may... Oh, no, sorry, wrong guy. Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm the kind of guy your mother warned you about. And just for the record, I'm a Kiwi. I'm not Australian. Don't call me Australian, because them's fighting words.
So you're a fruit?
No, you'd have to buy me a drink and maybe take me out to dinner first, maybe a movie.
Well, no, you said you're a Kiwi, you know, like a Kiwi fruit, you know? I didn't mean the sexual orientation. I just meant, like, you ever watch that movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Oh, right? No, he did not.
I did. I totally went there. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? You know, at the end of the movie, when the father is doing, like, the toast to the couple, and then he's analoging their last names, like his family,
the Portokoulos.
Yeah, their Greek name means orange, and then the other family's Greek name meant apple. And he said, "So it doesn't matter. In the end, we're all a bunch of fruits." And then I was just thinking that after he said he's a Kiwi, so I'm like, "Are you a fruit?"
I've got to say, that is one thing I do find quite funny, because here in New Zealand, we call it the kiwi fruit. We don't call it a kiwi. Americans, you know, y'all call it, like, y'all shot and everything, because, like, you call it a kiwi. Now, the reason it's called a kiwi fruit is the kiwi is actually our native bird. It's this short little, cute little nocturnal bird that... Yeah, flightless bird. And when you get a kiwi fruit and you leave the little stalk on it, he looks like a plump little kiwi, and that's where they got their name from.
Ah, well, there you go.
And I think there's a message in that for all of us, don't you?
Tune in Monday to Thursday right here on Holosuite Media and you'll find out more. No, I really think you get along with Woody Valley on, you know, he's on the show Tribbles and Ecstasy, which will be on tomorrow night. He's an Aussie. And I would like to see you two get into the room and then talk about Vegemite.
Now, you gotta watch out, because this here is a genuine Australian. Now, you gotta watch out, he's got a bad, nasty temper, and he's got quite a vicious bite. I'm going to go up and poke him with a stick and give him a big hug.
You knew that was coming, right? You knew it was coming.
So everyone is tuning in to the live show. This is probably what the next hour is just going to be, us farting around, because we don't got a lot of news. For those who are listening on the remastered show, sorry.
Well, technically we do have quite a lot of news, but a lot of it is the patch notes and so forth from the test live servers, and we're just going to sort of just flow with things today, because there's, you know, obviously we don't want to talk about any of the quests and things like that, because, you know, that's new content that you don't want to have things spoiled. It's nice to, as I was saying to Xander earlier, I'm the sort of guy, when I was a little kid, I sussed out at a young age that my parents would always stash the Christmas presents in their wardrobe, and me being an impatient little tard, I'd always go and have a little nosy and see what I was getting for Christmas. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking back at it now, I'm just realizing that I sort of spoiled things for myself, because all of a sudden, you know, the surprise of seeing things for the first time was gone. So obviously we don't really want to talk about that. We do have a lot of the patch notes, because even though there are the new content that's coming out, there's a lot of game tweaks and ability tweaks which are quite interesting, and it's just reading them, I'm just trying to sort of get in the heads of the developers and just see what sort of way they're trying to point the game, whether they're looking at things and trying to see where there are certain problems that, or perceived problems that need addressing, where things need to be tweaked and upgraded, and where things are being developed.
Definitely.
Wow. I was all like Thotherius there. Thotherius.
Thotherius.
I'm standing in awe.
I know, he like made a whole coherent paragraph all in one breath.
Oh, I put my woozle gummage thinking head on. Uck, 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 uck.
The secret world soliloquy, I like it.
I have nowhere to go. So, anyway, we're going to talk about some of the patch notes. Now, unfortunately, like Mr. Gray said, we're not going to go into a lot of detail. For one, you know, for all of us here, this is the first time we're actually looking at the patch notes. Unfortunately, like I said, you know, other cast mates that's already been in Test Live, they were unable to make it tonight due to the holiday. So happy holidays to, you know, our happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there stateside and whoever celebrating it around the world. Hope that you guys are, you know, loved and safe and not choking on turkey. What you said?
No, what?
Oh, speaking of turkey, have you ever played the South Park? Was it the Super Nintendo? No, Nintendo 64?
Yeah, and it was Chef something or other, and you're just killing turkeys all the way through it.
Yeah, sat there in front of the TV, and I played that game to death, and I can sit there, and I can actually make the tank sounds. I can make the turkey tank sounds. It's uncanny. Are you ready
Dude,
for this?
I did play... Oh, yeah, go for it.
Oh, yeah. He's good. That's talent.
Dude, I've got to be honest with you. Hey, how's it going, Gigaboy?
Hey, Gig.
Good to see you, mate.
Gig!
You're right.
We're alright. You alright?
Getting there, maybe. Getting there.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, same to you.
Giga, I hope you heard my Woozle Gummage reference, because you're probably one of the few people who actually know who Woozle Gummage is.
Well, it's all gummage, but like a pit slide of cake and a cup of tea.
It is an obscure reference for those that never saw the program. It was a program I saw when I was a little kid, and it was John Pertwee or Ron Pertwee. He was one of the Doctor Who's. John Pertwee. And thinking back, it was really, really creepy. He was like a scarecrow that was alive, and for various things, he'd rip his head off.
Well, we're not in Kansas anymore.
And put a different head on. So, I put my thinking head on, and it used to creep the hell out of me.
Yep. So people would give him head.
No, he'd give himself head. That was the creepy part.
Oh, son.
Some would say he was a cunning linguist. Oh, wait, did I go there?
Nice.
Again, we're going to apologize for this show. You know, we have absolutely no steering. Oh, you know who's really going to be cheesed off? You know, just put aside the thousands of listeners that download this show and, all that cool stuff. You know, the one person that's really going to be cheesed off about this show is Antita, because she's home right now. She's not feeling well. And she was in Test Live, and she's praising all kinds of cool stuff that's on there. Like, she couldn't wait to talk about it, and then she wasn't feeling good, so she couldn't make the show. And then we have these show notes. Basically, it's everything that sums up everything that's in the patch, and yet we've been going on for 40 minutes now, and we haven't even said one fucking thing that's on the show notes.
Well, Xander, can you make me a promise? Can you go and make her a nice cup of tea later on or something like that? You know, just do something nice for her. Our thoughts go out to her. I hope she's feeling better, you know, by the end of this. And maybe get her some nice cookies or something like that. This is a nice thing to do.
Cookie.
And they'd better not be raisin. Seriously, they'd better not be raisin. Otherwise, I will fly over there and kick your ass. Because raisins do not belong in cookies.
But would we have to pay for the trip?
No, I'll do it.
Well, then, here's the raisin cookie. Put your wallet where your mouth is. You are on a trip.
Woo-hoo. I think Mr. Wizzle could do that.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, I'm having a nosy at these patch notes. Now, they're verbose. There's a heck of a lot of stuff here.
Totally.
Now, it is quite nice to see there's item fixes, there's clothing fixes, GUI fixes. Do you prefer GUI?
Well, it depends on GUI. The person. Some people say it GUI because they read it literally, but it is GUI, Graphical User Interface. It is actually called GUI, but some people do call it GUI. And the thing is, keep in mind, now, they say there's a lot of GUI fixes or GUI fixes in this, but keep in mind, in issue 10 coming out, we're supposed to be getting a brand new customizable GUI. So that's why they're not necessarily fixing things, I don't think. They're putting in the adaptations that we're going to need to customize it.
Now, I can understand why they're doing that, though, to be honest, call me a meat and two veg kind of guy. I do like just the plain functionality of just how the GUI is. It is functional. It does everything for me. But at the same time, look, I've got a mate of mine, Mike. Now, he can't... It doesn't matter what the game is, what the operating system is. He must customize it totally crazily. So, it's like totally efficient for what I'm doing. I remember sitting down at his PC and I just... I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Where's your start button, dude? Seriously. But anyway, with these patch notes, now the really interesting part that I'm noticing is a lot of the under the combat section where fists, blade, chaos, blood, alley, shotties, pistols, assault rifles, they've all had quite a few tweaks. Now if you haven't nosed a lot of them, the only real the standout DPS one for me is shotguns. Basically, they've just tweaked some of the abilities. For instance, Striker no longer has a damage penalty when it hits non-hindered enemies. Things like that. You know, it looks like shotguns have had a little bit of a buff. I'd be very interested to see how the theory crafters get on with whether it makes it a lot more viable. But a lot of the other abilities, it's a very heavy leaning towards mostly healing and tanking. So I'm just thinking here, maybe Funcom are looking at just how things are and trying to make it, okay, if we make healing abilities a little bit more powerful, tanking abilities a little bit more powerful, then maybe that'll encourage more people to heal and tank, because they, as with all MMOs, the healers and always the tanks are in the greatest shortage. Now, admitted, from my opinion, healing's relatively simple. Once you get up, it's really easy. Well, depending on the situation, of course. Tanking is not too bad either, but I'm hoping that, you know, if it can encourage a few more people just to sort of dip their toes in the water and see what it's like, then as a whole for grouping and, you know, forming groups for nightmares and raids and things like that, I'm hoping that it'll make things a little bit... That there'll be more tanks and healers on the ground. Now, the other aspect with this is, are these changes based around upcoming content, the upcoming raid that's not in this patch that's coming up? From what I gather, what's coming up,
the raid
up
is going to be in issue 11, not 10.
The raid in the dungeon is issue 11. Now, from what I gather, issue 10 is there's a nightmare area, sort of a layer sort of thing, and some more quests. I can see the nightmare area is going to be heavily
nightmarish.
It'll be good. I'm very interested to see what sort of drops are going to be there. Will we see Tokyo Theatrics? Speaking of Theatrics, God, they've gone and changed the time that you spend in the Albion Theatre from 1 hour to 3 hour, which is actually really cool. Now
we said on the last. Hang on, have a breath. Take a breath for you. Okay. Woo, you're going a mile a minute there. We actually talked about that last week on the show, that the Albion Theater is underused a lot, and people have asked for, okay, we're paying for it, give us more time. And we actually suggested a 2-hour time limit, but now they actually adjusted it to 3. So that is awesome. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Gray.
One thing that I would like to see would be a change so that... user in the channel has timed out. Bye-bye. One thing I would like to see is, in the theatre, the ability to change where you can record from. Because, I mean, you know, camera angles and panning is, you know, so important for good recording. But, hey, that's something they can work on in the future.
Now, I was going through the other combat ones that you're talking about. And I mainly use Chaos Assault Rifle, Chaos Assault Rifle, Elementalism, and Blades. And there are none of the abilities that I use are in this patch. So, I guess what I use, obviously what I use, I guess is more for DPS and Survivalism. But I guess mine did not make it to the cut, any of the abilities that I use, so they're not going to be augmented in any way.
Well, maybe they're looking at a lot of passes. I mean, have you seen some of the crazy DPS that Hamfist is doing?
No.
It's crazy. On some fights, they're doing like... it is a little bit of a tricky rotation, but I'm seeing 7 to 8k DPS on non-novelty fights. Now, a novelty fight to me is Darkness War, the last one, where you're getting Viking Jesus's buff and things like that, you know. 7k DPS is nuts.
The Vangarian. That's what you're referring to, right?
And it was a good light, and it burned our enemies to cinders.
Yes. The Vangarian. Did you know that you actually fight the Vangarian?
Yeah, he's a lobster boy in Polaris.
Yeah. He's the Lobtrosity. He is the Vangarian. I guess he... That would really suck, you know. He went, he did the whole war, helped defeat the Mayans and everything, and then on his little Viking voyage back, he gets shipwrecked and by the filth and then turned into the creature.
Well, kinda weird. What I think the message in that is that Funcom thinks that Vikings made shit boats. Basically.
Well, that puts it in a nutshell.
All
I don't
the
know
ways
why
you could have gone with
that,
and that's what you pulled. That's awesome.
I know, right? I would
just
have
be
went
thankful
with...
I'm not making any comments about the Vangarian's chest.
I would have went with no good deed goes unpunished, but you go with Funcom make shit boats. Okay.
That was what I was thinking. I was like, he's going to say something about, you know, you do something good, you get shit on. No, that's not it.
Hey, no good deed goes unpunished.
You remember the Vangarian gig? You remember the Vangarian's backstory, right?
Hmm. And speaking of which, that is one thing that I love. And now we've spoken about this so many times. I love the lore in this that, you know, you just rock on through the game. And it's not until later on that you get a little bit bored and you start having a read through the lore. And all of a sudden, everything starts tying together. It's like a gigantic spider web where everything is interconnected. And you can see that one particular action had multiple cause and effects. Yeah. It's just nice to see that they've put so much thought into everything, and Funcom hates Norwegian Vikings.
Yeah, Gig knows all about that, don't you, Gig?
What about Vikings making crappy boats?
Well, no, I thought, never mind. When you go back to listen to this episode, you're gonna have a laugh too.
No, all he'll be thinking is, why did they invite Mr. Gray? Why?
Well, no, you're a very active part of the community, and you have a very, you know, docile. That's a bad word, isn't it? Docile.
Very bad word.
Yeah. You have a very
docile
good...
is one of the last particular words you could use to describe me.
Yeah. You have a very... Anyway, compliments came and gone. Gig, you remember the Vangarian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his voyage home. And then he became a lobster boy.
Mm-hmm. Viking Jesus.
Uh-huh. Do you think he can get a job at Red Lobster?
Yeah,
I don't know if the whole secret
mustard.
World doesn't pan out. Well, no, yeah, you know the lore behind him, right?
I don't think Vangarian Fest is going to appear on any commercials.
Vangarian Fridays! TGIF.
I'm just trying to imagine how big the plates would be. I mean,
I
know,
you know,
right? you order one lobster claw, it would be huge. I mean, you know, Squiddly Diddly, the fifth boss in Polaris. Can you imagine squid rings out of that? They'd honestly be like, you know, they'd be like tractor tires.
Uh-huh.
You could only eat half of it. You eat half the plate, and then all of a sudden you'd have to go into like the alternate world to eat the rest of the plate.
Man, talk
yeah,
about getting
would
tail,
work.
Right?
I know.
Just breaking off a piece of that tail, wow, that just, like, just take up your whole plate.
See, that calamari could, like, cure world hunger.
Mm. Yeah, right? Just drop one of those, drop one of those to one of the places that need, you know, food stat. Don't even need to cook it, just eat it raw. Sushi. Or we'd get less necks and less nestmen to drop some turkeys. Reporting live from the parking lot at WKRP, it's Les Nessman in this year's first annual turkey drop. Oh my god, I thought they could fly. Oh, it's pandemonium in the streets. Oh, I'm sorry. Send the bill to WKRP in Cincinnati.
Totally random fact. The dude that did the voice that played the character of Les Nessman or whatever his name was.
Les Nessman?
He was one of the first ever guys that did voiceover work on a video game. It was a game called Day of the Tentacle from LucasArts.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I mean, look at, you know, how many big name Hollywood actors are doing voiceover work for games. I mean, look at the script for The Secret World. I mean, they got the guy from the Reanimator series. So awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey Combs. But the thing is, you know, yeah, that guy was one of the very first guys that ever did voiceover work for...
Richard Sanders.
Yes.
And for a point-and-click game, Day of the Tentacle is actually pretty cool.
What other games have you guys been playing as of late, you know, other than The Secret World? I know we were talking about this, but, you know, you got my brain rolling. I've been delving back into Star Wars, The Old Republic. I recently just reinstalled it, and I've been playing that along with The Secret World and Stowe.
Yep, that's what I've been
playing. Okay, I started having a jam on The Evil Within. Now, I've started to realize that I'm becoming an old fart because, I'm not going to try and pronounce his name. It's something or other in Japanese. He's a great story writer. He was he was one of the guys that was basically behind the original Resident Evil 1 and 2. You know, that sort of thing. Now,
yeah.
I start playing the game and you're like some pretty boy cop that goes in to a mental asylum and, oh, it's a bloodbath, there's dead people everywhere, and a little bit of stuff goes down, boom, you get knocked out, and you wake up upside down in this sort of killing room abattoir, and there's some psycho killer there in a leather smock, he's going to kill you, and you do a little swing thing, and you escape, and you're running away, and he hears you, and he grabs a chainsaw, and he runs after you, and he slashes the back of your calf with the chainsaw, and I'm sort of hobbling away as fast as I can, there's blood and gore everywhere, and then you go into a room, and there's like fucking spinning blades, and all this sort of thing, and I'm running through them before they cut me up, and I jump into a sewer grate, and I'm sliding down this dirty drain with like blood and guts and all that sort of thing, and I land in a pool of blood and guts. Now, 16-year-old me would have been going, oh my god, this is amazing! All I was thinking was, oh man, I am so getting tetanus. That is so gonna get infected.
I know! The same thing happened to me. I bought, on Steam, I bought, I think it was last year's, like, Game of the Year, Tomb Raider. I bought that on Steam. It came on for like $12, so I got the digital deluxe Mongo Bongo set, whatever. So I'm playing that, and I normally use my keyboard when I play, but I figured, well, I have a controller. I can use the controller, right, because it goes good with the controller too. So I'm using the controller about probably in my first hour of playing the game. I'm like, ah, oh, damn, my fracking hands are hurting, because I used to play, back when I was a teeny bopper, I used to play Killer Instinct, I used to play Mortal Kombat. I loved Killer Instinct. Killer Instinct was my jam, man, my jam. Mortal Kombat, you know, all those ones.
80 hit ultra combo.
Yeah, Falgore, I love Falgore. Yeah, used to play that all the time, and it wore off.
Yeah, do you know how sympathetic I am? I'm sitting here listening
you're
to
on
you
this
complaining
show?
About getting... yeah, I'm listening to you complaining about getting sore hands from playing Tomb Raider with the console, and I'm just sitting there thinking, I actually just played through Tomb Raider just not that long ago, and you're complaining about the pain that you went through? Lara Croft gets her ass kicked through the entirety of that game. Uh-huh. She gets like a bone, you know, stuck through her. She's getting cut and smashed up. And you got poor widow Shawhenge. Oh.
I got a bone for Lara Croft.
I've got to admit, that's some rather impressive polygons. Though I never really understood whole Lara Croft being a sex symbol back in the PlayStation 1 day.
Yeah.
Because... I can understand some people get into, like, anime and hentai and that, but even then, dude, that's like a 60-polygon model. Really. Really.
Yeah. But if you look it up, out of all, like, the sexy characters and games and stuff like that, if you look it up, Lara Croft is the only sexy, I guess, game diva, game icon, who, over the years, her breasts have been reduced. You know, they actually have a chart out that shows her from when she first came out to the new one. And yeah, you know, they go down. She looks more realistic, less of a sex, like an over sex symbol or whatever, to a realistic, you know, kind of gal. I played the game. Everything that she went through in that game, everything that we as a character goes through, I have never felt so empowered. Really, when I beat that game, that was the first time in forever. I have never played a dungeon or a raid or anything like that where I would get up and jump around and I had to call my wife right away to tell her I beat this game. Like, I've never had that feeling with any other game but this one. It was so empowering. And we had one of our sister shows, Tribbles and Ecstasy, Morgan Laraya. She is the lead star in the Fifth Passenger movie that we helped promote, and they got their Kickstarter, so they're going to produce the movie. Yay for them. She's the lead actress in that movie, and she wanted to portray a strong female character because, you know, it's a sci-fi thriller, and she wants to put that out there that, you know, we need more strong female, you know, actors, role models, stuff like that, right? And I during an interview with her, I had told her about that video game, and I had sent her the link to the cutscenes. Just watching the cutscenes alone, you know, you can see how powerful, you know, Laura becomes. And I guess this story is supposed to be the prequel to the rest of the games where she is the Tomb Raider in there, but this is what she's learning to be. And Crystal Dynamics did an awesome job on it, and they're making a sequel, which I can't wait for.
And one thing I will note is that I was really impressed that they made her sexy but not sexualized. You know, Lara Croft is hot. You know that
she's hot. She's beautiful.
They did a great job on the character modeling, but you know, at no point, you know, she is a strong female lead, which is kind of lacking in so many games and titles now, especially movies.
Yeah, you know, I'm used to
the damsel in distress trope is so tired and pitiful, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sorry. Did someone say something about a strong female lead that's taken over four movies recently?
That yeah,
shoots a bow.
Yeah, she also runs around naked in X-Men.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. She recently had all her phone hijacked and her iCloud hijacked and all her video pictures released to the internet.
Nice.
To make a Pulp Fiction joke. Hijacked. Yeah, well, do you know what they call Battle Royale in Japan?
Oh no.
The Hunger Games with cheese. Have you guys ever heard of a movie called Battle Royale?
Yeah, I watched it.
I think
it.
I have.
Both of them. Seen
it. Yeah. When I saw The Hunger Games, I realized it's based off some really successful books. All I was thinking was, wait, I've seen this 10 years ago. And if you haven't seen the movie Battle Royale, obviously it's subtitled because it's all in Japanese. The children of Japan have started having no respect for their parents, so they initiate the Battle Royale program where every year one random classroom is chosen, taken to an island, they have explosive necklaces put around their necks, and they're given a bag with a random item and some rations, and it's last man standing. And it's brutal and brilliant.
Yeah. I watched last night for shits and giggles. I watched The Starving Games, which is the parody of The Hunger Games.
Can't miss every shot.
Yeah. Can't miss every shot. Yeah. it wasn't the best parody movie. It wasn't the funniest parody movie, but it was okay. If you want to poke fun at The Hunger Games and stuff like that. I loved the opening sequence where she goes and shoots the Wizard of Oz. Brilliant. <Yes.
laughs> I will say, though, isn't it kind of depressing that, you know, the parody movies just aren't what... They're just a cheap cash-in nowadays. I mean, like, the original Scary Movie series from the Wayne brothers, they were brilliant. And then they just... Now it's just rubbish. Like, have you seen Meet the Spartans?
Yeah.
Ugh. The only thing I laughed at was the painted on abs.
Yeah.
Especially when they put painted on abs on the fat guy. That was kind of funny.
Yeah.
To be honest, the parody movie pretty much died with, like, not another teen movie and it was rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's when it went that too far.
I haven't found a good one since Airplane, sorry.
Spaceballs, hey, come on. Spaceballs is epitome of, you know, if not Spaceballs, then Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give Galaxy Quest its props, but all of Mel Brooks' movies are parody movies, so that doesn't count.
Well, that's true.
I loved the History of the World Part 1. And they said to him, oh, so is this part of a series? No, there's only going to be one. Though, admittedly, I didn't really like Spaceballs, but I did think Galaxy Quest was brilliant, especially how it played on a lot of the Star Trek tropes. Captain, things are a little bit crazy down here, and I think you might want to, like, lay off pushing the engine so much, or, you know, things will explode. And in the background, there's dudes getting exploding and flying everywhere. It's brilliant.
Nice.
So, we just went off on...
Back to combat.
That's gonna be one of those episodes, I guess. Yeah. So back to combat. 15 minutes later,
they ignored hammers, dude. That's like my thing, and they ignored hammers. I feel bad.
Hammer time.
I know, right?
I don't think hammers really need a buff at the moment.
I was gonna say they don't really need a buff, to be honest.
I mean, all of the changes that I'm seeing are buffs. I'm having a look, and I'm not really seeing any nerfs. I'm seeing a lot of healing buffs, mostly healing buffs. There's a few tanking buffs, no real DPS buffs. The main DPS buffs, well, potential DPS buffs are shotguns. And one interesting thing is Crapshoot has been remade. Whenever you hit a weakened target, you have a 3% chance of Snake Eyes, 3% chance of Midnight, or a 16% chance of 7-Out. Now, Snake Eyes is the target is hit for moderate damage, 7-Out, the target is purged of one beneficial effect, and Midnight, you gain a minor pen chance. Interesting. Because that was a kind of pointless ability, you know. I tried using it for beating the Gatekeeper, because, you know, you needed a purge. And, yeah, it didn't really cut the mustard. You're sort of, you know, hoping for the best, but, meh.
Cutting the cheese.
I still haven't beat Oscar yet.
Oh, it's okay. You can do it. You can do it.
Oh, and one thing I did notice. PvP, El Dorado, resolved an issue that an incorrectly shown team member with the highest score at the top of the scoreboard when another team held 4 relics for 2 consecutive minutes. And Reality Fracture is now able to be used while carrying a relic in El Dorado. Now, they're not major changes, but they are showing that, you know, they are looking at PvP and seeing what they can do. I'm sure that there will be some changes down the line, but I think they really need to sort of sit down and have a think about the direction that they want to take things. They are limited. I'm not making excuses here, but it does sound like an excuse. They are limited with the amount of manpower that they have to throw at things, and they are focusing really heavily on content and a lot of the major fixes at the moment. But it is nice that there are some little tweaks there for El Dorado.
Isn't El Dorado the one everybody hated?
That's the one everyone loved, I do believe.
I have never... ever played El Dorado. The only time I've seen El Dorado is a YouTube video because it never pops.
I know, right? I've been trying to get in El Dorado for like ever, and yeah, ever since the game came out of beta, I think I got into it once, but every now and then I had this like PvP streak where I went for like 3 months in all PvP. And I think the only place I ever got in was Fusang. I never got into El Dorado, and I never... I think I got into Stonehenge once.
Now, PvP isn't really my thing, but I love the passion of the PvP crowd. and they're really nice people. I mean, we saw during the Stonehenge event, and they're neat people. And you know, I really want them to be thrown a bone. You know, now obviously they'll make some changes, and some people will be upset, and some people will be happy. But you know, I just want them to be thrown a bone. So it is really nice to see this little Eldorado thing in there. So that to me, it just shows that, you know, look, I'm sorry, guys, we haven't overhauled the system or anything like that, you know, but we are looking at it. We haven't forgotten about you. And one other thing I noticed, now this is a mission fix, the Pachinko model. Level beyond human specters now routinely check their health and will despawn when they reach their minimum hit points.
Uh-huh.
Now that sounds silly, but quite often when I've done that quest, you know, they bug out at no health, and you know, you end up having to leave the room. And I actually sat down, and I was a little good little boy scout, and I did the old submit bug report, and I wrote it all out and put it in there, and it's like they read my bug report. Oh, thanks, aww, guys. Thanks. I feel special.
You feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Warm and fuzzy.
That could be the bourbon, though.
Yeah. But they've also in the dungeon hell raised resolved an issue which could mean players was hit with life burn outside the lava areas in hell raised. Now I do remember Antita, she frequents the dungeons and she was complaining about that quite a lot. Now from what I remember, big PvP update will be coming in issue 12, and regrettably that's going to be next year sometime, so I'm thinking next year December, maybe. Some people are going to cringe when I say that, right?
Yeah, I know. But the thing is, you know,
we get like two updates a year, so
the updates are starting to churn out a lot more regularly. I mean, you know, look, we do have Krampus coming up very soon, and
yeah,
I assume End of Days will be wound into that as well again. And I think it's really cool that we're looking at issue 10 may well be out before then, which is...
I don't know. If I remember correct, I do believe the second week, not next week, but the week after, probably on that Friday, two Thursdays from now. Next week is the beginning of the month. I think maybe the following week after that, maybe Christmas, the End of Days event might start. If not, it'll be the following week after, which I think that's going to be too late because Christmas is in the third week of the month. So I'm thinking it's going to be not next week, but the next week after that. So in 2 weeks from now, I think that's going to happen. I doubt. I could be wrong. But so far as I've asked Gig, when it comes to release dates, I get them pretty down. I get them pretty damn close, right, Gig?
You have amazing intuition.
I'm fairly confident to say that in 2 weeks from now we're gonna have the End of Days event starting, because that's gonna be a week before Christmas. Yeah, a week before Christmas, and then that'll last until until like the week after New Year's. So that'll stretch that long. I do believe issue 10 will hit in January, the following week after that. So either in the last bit of the first week or the second week of January. I can't see them releasing a major content like that. The continuation of our story plus the nightmare area for people to go. Plus we're going to be inside. Yeah, we're going to be down at the docks, and I think we're going inside Orochi Tower this one. No, Orochi Tower is the raid event. Yeah, which is going to be issue 11. So, I doubt they're going to release that this close to Christmas.
There you go. People,
and
put it in your client calendars. Xander said so.
There you go.
And of course, you know, we never know exactly, you know, what may happen with bugs and so forth, and how long it takes them to find and fix them. I mean, you know, just if we cast our mind back to Halloween, they had some major game breaking bugs, and you know, people were having a QQ. Halloween isn't out yet. Oh, suck it in, Cupcake. You know, at the end of the day, they still managed to get the Halloween event before
2 days before Halloween, which I predicted.
You know, it was still before Halloween.
Uh-huh.
We still got to have a heck of a lot of fun. And, you know, these things happen. Just deal with it, you know? And the reality is that from a programming aspect, finding bugs is not easy. And you fix one thing, or you tweak one thing, and it breaks something else. And it makes no sense why it breaks something else. So, you know, we really don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but hey, they got it out in time. And, you know, I'm just looking forward that you know, we do have issue 10 to look forward to. And, you know, the fact that it's on test live means that, you know, things are chugging along quite nicely. They've they have an early release candidate. That's what's referred to, well, what I refer to as what's on the test live. And you know, it is good that, you know, they are progressing along with the content. You know, we've only got good things to look forward to.
Yeah,
great. You're talking to the internet now. Yeah, look, normal rules of logic do not apply.
Trolls.
Fair call. My logic has no place here.
Yes. Now you have to break it down. You have to break it down and
Bring it on down.
Yeah. The reason why I say it's probably not going to be until January is you have to break it down into production wise and community wise. Why would, okay, events like the end of days or like the Halloween event, events like those are stalls. That's what I call them. They're stall tactics. It's an event that you put in to keep your clientele occupied with new content that's put into that said event, yet that's the event that was from last year that keeps building up from year to year, okay? So that brings people into the game and play the game. You wouldn't want to release something that you want players to focus on at the same time you release, another seasonal event, because you're going to divide your territory there. You have assets going into making the end of days event better by adding some stuff. I'm not sure if they have or not. We'll find out in the game director's letter for November, like next week. So yeah, you have all those assets tied into that, making something that better. Also, you have the Christmas holidays. You have people taking time off. They might have a skeleton crew that shifts in and out, making sure the servers are up and running, stuff like that. But all those content people are not going to be there for the release of said issue 10. So they want them on hand at that time when they release it in case they need hot fixes and bugs. So that's probably going to be, again, in January. So just to clarify why... I'm not trying to be a doomsayer, I'm just looking at it logically. If you spend assets...
Xander. I understand what you're saying, but I totally disagree. You don't realize, this is all about me. It's all about me. Now, they're not stalls, they are teasers. Now, by teaser, that means that they have an event where there is a rare chance from the loot bag that you can get a criterion. And it teases that, you know, some people randomly get them while I grind out so many bags.
Like when I got three in a row?
Get any. I hate you.
I know Gig hated me for a whole half a year.
This is why you are banned from events.
Well, it's like on my fourth, my fourth ult, I wanted a criterion so that I could pug the New York raid. So... Ah, the Golden Weekend. So I actually got 276 bags and sent them all to my alt, thinking there's got to be a chance that, you know, I'll get a criterion. Nah. Okay. That's cool. I can deal with that. You know, RNG is RNG. Ah, Halloween drops. Grinding Superjack like crazy. Grinding. I obviously, because, you know, Superjack, you've got to summon him, and you're not going to be killing him in the same sort of frequency as the Golden Golem. I did a huge amount of grinding, but I think I only managed around about 150 or 140 something odd Superjack kills. Sent them all to my ult. And nothing except one thing. Third core capacitor. Really?
I got one of those.
Really, Funcom? Really?
I'm not even sure what it is.
Do you want to know how cheeky I am? I opened a petition. Hi, Mr. GM. I got this third core capacitor. Can I please transfer that to my main, please? I'm really sorry, sir, but that is a bind on pickup item, and we can't do that. RNG hates me.
But there is irony in the whole thing. I got three of those Criterion upgrades and a couple other things that Gig hated that I got all during the Whispering Tide event. But I don't get any good augments at all. Hardly ever get augments at all when I do the augments, and I'm getting my ass kicked, you know, in Tokyo with Aegis. So it all evens out.
Oh, though, let's be realistic with the augments. They are they're the icing on the cake, you know. They are nice to have, but they're not necessary. And it does give something for, you know, us to grind and work on long term. And realistically, you know, the prices for a lot of them are stupid high, but you don't have to buy them, and as time goes on and they do eventually get around to adding more scenarios, we're going to get into a position where the price will start to come down. So, you know, we do have that to look forward to, and it is nice that we do have something to work on and aim for. Some people on the forums have asked for augments to be buffed, and I'm actually rather against that whole train of thought, because admittedly some of the purples do need to be buffed, or some of the blues do need to be nerfed, because some of the blue augments at level 5 are far superior than their purple counterparts. You know, it just doesn't really make too much sense. But at the same time, I mean, you know, if you start buffing them too much, then what's going to end up happening is, you know, elitist tards are going to start, you know, expecting people to have ground them all out. And, you know, I want to have that as an icing on the cake. I don't want to have it as people expecting it to be part of the core bread and butter, if you know what I mean.
I get you.
But then elitist tards will be elitist tards either way. They'll never always expect people to grind out whatever crap is the current.
Yeah, and I'm a completionist. You know, I have my augment wheel filled. I have my skill wheel almost filled, because, well, I have to do the whole new Aegis one. And I have my ability wheel filled. You know, I want my augment wheel filled, too. Whether or not I use it, that's completely different. But I'm just not able to get to do that because of the low drop rates. But that's, you know, we've already covered that last week.
Yeah, RNG is RNG, and it's always nice to have something to aim for.
Yeah, but the only other thing aside from the dungeon area and the docks and the continuation of a story mission, we will be getting a new augment mission, a new scenario that will be taking place in the Love Hotel. I wish. Could you imagine? I shall free you from that. A filth-infected vibrator! Oh, God. I have Hello Kitty flashbacks now. But
just think, a filth-infected vibrator would never need batteries.
But they say the new auxiliary weapon is going to be from the Love Hotel. And that's what everyone keeps, you know, trying to figure out. What is it? But
spoiler alert, ball gag.
Anywho, so another Another scenario will be added to the Venetian Council, hopefully. And then we'll get the new auxiliary weapon sometime mid-season after issue 10 is released. Hopefully it doesn't push back to issue 11, which I think will be coming out around third year anniversary. That's my guess. But we are going, yes, so if you want to take a look at the other updates that are on the test live, go check it out in the forums. It's the leading post right now in the forums in the game general tab. So go to forum home, game, and then general. It's right there, check it out. And right there's also detailed information there for you to go and, you know, figure out how to log into the test live if you haven't already done it. Basically you go there, you transfer your character from your account, which will take about a half hour from your online account to go to their website. That's if you want to transfer a character. And then you download the script from there, put it into your game folder, and away you go. But we've covered that so many times in the past. All the documentary is right there onto the forums. But we do have a couple other little things to test about. Yes, we're going to test about this. Now, we have an event.
You're getting a little bit Canadian. What's all that about, eh?
What? I am Canadian. Crikey. Anyway, so do you want to tell us about the high-end DPS contest there, Mr. Gray?
Now, this is interesting. Scroll, 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 scroll. Just scrolling down. Now, it's in the... it's a event from the forums. Basically, the idea is to promote a friendly competition for high-end players. The general idea is to see which team can kill a nightmare boss faster and post proof of it. Preferably with a video, you know, you can use Fraps or some other equivalent. Only certain fights with nightmare bosses are eligible for entry. Mainly because a lot of bosses, they just die far too fast or have mechanics that make this challenge kind of uninteresting. Now, they're accepting passes on the following bosses. Polaris 6, that's Uradoggy. Hellraise 6, that's Machine Tyrant. Slaughterhouse 4, that's Cyber... What's his face? The one before the shotgun vampire guy.
Cyberpunk.
That's the one. The Facility 1, Facility 2, and Facility 6. Hellfallen, the last boss in there. Hell Eternal 6. I love that fight. That's possibly one of my favorite fights in the game. Ankh number 2. No verds! No verds! And Ankh number 6.
More verds!
Now, some more verds. The rules are screenshots or videos with proof of the pass are accepted. Videos are a more reliable source and as such will have priority over screenshots. A top 5 ranking will be held for each eligible boss. A team cannot occupy more than one position in a ranking for the same boss. This is just to promote fairness and diversity. And let's say if Team A has 2 passes with 13 and 14 seconds respectively, and Team B has a pass with 20 seconds, then only these 13 second pass will count for Team A on that boss, and Team B will hold position number 2 with 20 seconds. Pass length will be determined by longest fight duration of any of the participants. This is to remove factors like dots running after the boss is dead. Now the format. Participants should provide the following information. Fight duration, URL with a video or screenshot with proof of the pass, a list of the combatants' name followed by their respective weapons, and in the forum post there's, you know, the format that shows there, and it'll be like a player 1 name, weapon 1, weapon 2, player 2 name, weapon 1, weapon 2, and yada yada. And it'll just be interesting to see how good some people can do it, because I've played with some really good players and some of the DPS outputs, for instance, Hamfist, crazy DPS, You know, and there's some other builds that are quite interesting as well. So, you know,
I'm going to say I'm looking at the website at the forum at the moment, and they've already got a few people that are claiming like first place, second place, and there's one group that's got first place on Polaris 6 and Hellraiser 6, three of which are running Hamfist.
Nice. Nice. I wonder, does that mean incoming nerf?
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I got Polaris 6, Urdraug, down in 12 seconds. And Hellraiser 6, my most hated boss ever, down in 20 seconds.
You know what I hate about Hellraiser 6? Those blinking mortars. Now let's say you're herp-a-derp and you're in the well. And not only are you being punished by having to watch the fight because you had a brain fart and herpaderped, but every once in a while, mortars will come into the well and blow everyone up in the well. Really, Funcom? Really? Really?
It'd be really nice. It'd be kind of cool to have something like this go along with, like, soloing Polaris, you know, because you can solo Polaris on the normal. You know, this is good for group, but I think that'd be kind of cool to see. But yeah, 20 seconds for Urdraug, wow. Or 12 seconds, wow. Hellraiser, 20 seconds, wow. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to look into this Hammer Fist build.
That's not too bad.
But yeah, if you look at them all, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 people. Out of the two bosses that are posted, out of the three teams, 7 people have Hammer Fist.
Well, Polaris 6 number 1 and Hellraiser 6 number 1 are the same team.
Oh, okay.
I think the main reason is Ham Fist. It is a relatively generic build. Afterwards, I've got it on one of my other tunes. I can link you the build. And it's just basically a generic, you know, Ham Fist build. But the main thing about it is that its initial burst is nuts. Absolutely nuts. So the thing is, you know, as long as you can get everyone teeing off at the same point and get all your buffs lined up nicely and don't screw up the rotation, bam, you'll hit like a Mack truck.
Yeah, I've
awesome.
Got, building my own Fist sword deck. Fist has amazing burst DPS potential. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So cool. That's that one. You can visit that one into the forums under the Games Dungeon and Lair tab. So Gig, you have something for us too?
Yes. We have a forum event going on, set up by Tomium. Blame Tomium if you don't like it.
Actually, you have a little funny little story there, don't you, Gray, about Tomium?
I just want him to clear his mailbox. do you remember the Halloween event and, you know, the most awesome drops that you'd get? Grinning Gouds and Jack-o'-lanterns. Gotta love them. And everyone, you know, got a nice healthy dose of heaps of them. Someone posted there as a joke, what are we going to do with these? And someone said, oh, why don't we just start mailing them to Tomium? And there are some people that have been sending him like stacks of 5 every day until they're all gone. I didn't have the patience to do that. I just, on all my characters, just went, mail, send. Now, I'm pretty sure, I want Tomium just to log on to his character, go to London, and have a look at his mail inbox, because it must be flooded with pumpkins. I'm sure it'll probably be smelling a bit weird by now. But considering that I'm still showing them in my bank tab, he obviously hasn't cleared his mail. So, yeah, it would just be interesting for Tomian to, look, just spend 10 minutes, go through, collect them all up, and just tell us, how many pumpkins did people end up sending you?
Yeah, so the contest?
Oh my god.
So yes, this event. Pretty much, you just need to be obviously on the forums. But it's kind of like a choose your own adventure thing. We have it each week until your adventure is concluded. You, the forums, will choose the path of your character. A poll will be made that will give you choices. Choices which can lead to riches, fun, and yes, even death. The rules are simple. Vote. This is a for fun roleplay game. You may reply here to try and sway your fellow forum goers. Keep in mind our lovely social guidelines. You may speculate as to how the decision will impact your character. You can even go as far as to think how many weeks your character will live. Winning consists of choosing the right odd choice that leads the character to a quote-unquote happy ending. Every vote will have four choices. Once the setup phase is over, which is the first one they've got up at the moment, is the setup phase. And finally, if your character lives and gets what we call the happy finale, then the people who voted for that option, just the last one, will gain the title of uncertainly epic.
That was such a brilliant idea. I mean, I love the whole choose your own adventure thing. I think it is sort of a subject that has died a little bit. I've noticed they're doing a little bit of a comeback on Android tablets and iPads and so forth, which is really cool. But when I was a little kid, we had the Fighting Fantasy books.
Fighting Fantasy, yeah.
And they were brilliant. Do you remember Caverns of the Snow Witch?
Yes, I think it was maybe number 6.
Okay, if you happen to have a copy of that book, have a flick through, and there's... because I remember the artwork was brilliant in those books. Well, depending on the book. Some of the books had really good, some of them didn't. And the
Some of them were shocking.
Yeah, some of the... Warlock of Firetop Mountain was crap! But in the Caverns of the Snow Witch book, there's a picture of these centaurs holding a spear. I've actually got a big-ass tattoo of that on my chest from the centaurs from that. Why? Because I love ink and I don't like the idea of having the same cheesy crap that everyone else has got, and it was a picture that I loved.
Awesome.
Don't you think it's really nice that the community, you know, the community managers and the developers do get behind some of these community-led projects? I think that's really cool. That's something I mean, you know, I feel dirty for admitting this, but yes, I played Warcraft for 4 years.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm not proud of it.
Warcraft days, shall we say.
But, you know, the devs never ever spoke to people. They didn't give a crap. You were just one of 12 or one of 14 million people, and they don't give a damn about you. But, you know, the devs here actually, you know, they do listen and they do read, which is really cool. And it's
getting on the fun.
Exactly. And we do have some people that are coming up with some brilliant ideas. And, you know, just community-led events, I can only see them getting stronger and stronger, and I just look forward to some of the ideas that they come up with. I mean, it's brilliant. Even little things, like, as I mentioned earlier, the Stonehenge event. You know, it's nice to sort of bring a little bit of highlight to various aspects of the game that don't necessarily have that much love, you know what I mean?
I hear ya, and I raise you a hell yeah.
Totally.
So guess what? You know, Antita won't be so mad at us. We went off on a couple road trips here and there, but we made it through the show, Doc. Hey!
We get there. We take a little bit longer, but we get there.
Yeah, we took a roundabout. So, I like to wish all of you out there a very, you know, happy Thanksgiving and a very safe one. Remember, don't drink and drive, all that nice stuff. I am thankful for all of our listeners out there. I'm thankful for my gorgeous wife, Antita. And I'm thankful for all the awesome games I get to play. And, well, is any of you guys out there like to say what you're thankful for? No pressure.
Coffee. very, very thankful for coffee. I'm very thankful for the wealth of entertainment that we have in virtually all multimedia formats that allow us to remain entertained no matter what we're doing. I mean, books are all good, but there's nothing I like better than sitting down and playing games and watching movies and things like that. I'm thankful for all my friends. I'm thankful for all you poor bastards that have listened to me blather on for ages. Yeah, sorry, I'm a gas bag. And, I just hope that everyone's had a really nice, relaxing weekend. You know, you can just sit back, have some good times with your family, be thankful for the small graces that we do have, and just forget about all our life's problems just for a little while, and just take some time to, you know, spend time with family. Family is everything. Blood is blood.
Anyone else want to take up the gauntlet before we go?
Come on, Kick, you can do it.
Well, obviously, thankful for my beautiful wife, and my unborn child. Can't wait for the birth of the mini mite. Thankful for the wealth of like entertainment that I can partake in. As I said last week, I have 15 MMOs installed on my computer. So I have more than enough choice when it comes to escapism, and God knows, you know, we need that every now and again. I will be thankful once tomorrow comes to an end, as I have a Black Friday sale to deal with.
Happy Caucasian Thursday.
Look, mate, I'm sorry, but we're not racist here. We don't call it Black Friday, we call it Coloured Friday. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's really my list there. So.
What about you, Jay?
Oh, man, I'm thankful that I was playing Star Wars and someone said, "Hey, man, we miss you. Come on over here." So, there you go. I'm thankful I've got friends who think about me even when I'm just hanging out. So, I'm thankful for my family.
We always think about you.
I know. I'm thankful
I'm thinking
I got
about
family.
You right now.
I know, right? I love the meat mask. It's turning me on.
I read the comments you've been putting in the chat channel. Yeah,
I was hoping you'd be thankful for those. But truthfully speaking, I'm just, like I said, I'm thankful to be here, man. When you get past 40, you start thinking, wow, you know, there's a lot of guys that didn't make it this far that I remember. So thankful I had one more day, and it was with you guys. So y'all have a good Thanksgiving.
Aww. I'm feeling all mushy and sweet now.
I know, right? That's why I'm a Templar, right?
If you're a Templar.
I know, right?
Crikey. Yeah. That's Pokemon stick.
In seriousness, if I could, I'd give you a no-homo big man hug. Aww.
Aww, thanks, man.
Oh, it's getting hot in here. Gotta close the show.
Keep some big Crosby.
All of the homo.
Hey, thank you everyone for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm sorry we went a little bit off track. Yeah, that's kind of my fault. That's just how I roll, but yeah.
I think I'm just going to hang up my hat as host, right? You're doing a far better job than I am right now.
Nah, mate, you do a great job. I'm just in a... I can't always be here just because of work commitments, but... I'm grateful that you always give me a chance just to sit down and have a chat about the game that I love, and you know, random other thoughts as they're sort of entering my head and exiting out through my mouth before I think about them.
Yes. So from
sorry, if you come to Beyond the Veil expecting some serious, like, serious news coverage, you're going to walk away empty-handed.
On that note, from our Holosuite Media family to all of yours out there, have a joyous and safe holiday season. It's coming up. That's starting now. And we'll see you next week, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on Holosuite Media. Bye, everybody.
Bye, people.
Bye.